Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We have our colleague check-in with Grant Paulson coming up at 8:20. Logan Paulson joins us at 9, former Washington tight end, co-host of the Take Command podcast. But joining us right now, we talk to him every week, is our pal John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Hey, John.
What up, fellas?
How are you, buddy?
John, can you take us through the reaction in the press box? And obviously, you know, you guys are not there to root for the team. You're professional. You're doing a job. But there had to be some sort of, like, audible reaction when Jaden was scrambling around for 12 and a half seconds, then launches the ball. Noah Brown eventually catches it on a tip. Like, what was the reaction like from you and people in the press box when that happened? Like, were there audible gasps? What was that scene like?
I'll be honest. Somebody else asked me this after the game. I don't remember because it was such –
usually pretty quiet.
It's quiet, but there's usually gasps because I was telling someone else, like, you know, everybody's a sports fan. Mm-hmm. You're not a robot.
Right.
Like, you're not going to sit there and, like, oh, wow, big play. It's like, oh, my God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there was a lot of that. I just don't remember because the focus immediately goes to what just happened. In your mind, you're like, you're trying to process, like, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
And then to me, like, my first thought is, like, watching the scene was unreal. And so I don't even remember the noise because it also, like, the noise in the stadium, it was everybody at the same time. You know, like, sometimes on those plays, on a big play where you may hear someone, like, gasp or something like that, like, well, it might stick out more because you don't hear the crowd because maybe the crowd doesn't react. You know what I mean? It's just, but that was such a momentous play and the sound in the stadium, I think, would have, you know, dwarfed anything, right? So, like, I honestly don't remember. It was so surreal.
Well, you know, it's funny, John. I don't know if anybody's... We after the game, my wife had the idea. She said, let's ask Alexa, what's the percentage of Hail Marys that succeed in the NFL?
I think it's like 1.4%.
No, chance. It was like, in the last 10 years, it's like 9%. It's
really?
If that's accurate, right? So, in, you know, it's a little like, yeah, because, you know, we have seen them. We see way more of these than we see onside kicks. I mean, they've regulated onside kicks out of the equation. So that was kind of interesting to learn that. What was most telling to you about the play as a whole? Was it sort of the preparation, everybody being in the right spot where they need to be? Or was it like Jaden just buying time with 13 seconds to me was the most remarkable part?
Well, I think to me it starts there because – it takes a lot of poise and confidence to buy that much time to allow your guys to get into the right spot, et cetera.
You didn't rush it at all. I mean, it was crazy.
So I think, right. And I start there and then it's to everybody doing their job. And meanwhile, you know, you have, I mentioned this on the podcast because somebody had this great camera angle of it of Tariq Stevenson, like, taunting the crowd, like, what did that to me? That highlighted the example on that play. You have one side where you have a rookie quarterback keeping his poise and
locked
moving
in
around, buying time, and then making an unbelievable throw, a perfect throw to get that little bounce. But then you have the other four guys going where they need to go. Like, you, when that play is stopped, Noah Brown's exactly where he should be. Terry McLaurin's if there's a forward tip, he's in position. You have Zach Ertz ready to play volleyball in the middle there. Mm-hmm. And so that to me is what stands out. It just but I'm not surprised by that because that's kind of what this team has been.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I start with Jaden's poise just because the presence of mind to know. And because I even asked him after the game, like, when do you know when to throw? He goes, it's just a feel thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to feel pretty good to move around like that for that long. I think it was like 12.7 to 12.9 seconds.
Yep.
And then he throws it 65 yards in the air. So they're just it's unbelievable.
Hey, you're kind of speechless by it. It's one of those moments I think you'll always remember where you were when it happened.
Oh, for sure.
You know, certainly an iconic moment at that dump.
For sure. there aren't many iconic moments there. I mean, to be honest, for a long time, one of the most memorable plays there was Gus Frat banging his head on the ball.
I agree. That would be one of the first things that come to my mind.
Yeah, it was one of them, because like, I was thinking about it. Somebody, I think Michael Phillips, tweeted out, like, you know, is there a better play there or something like that, or a moment? Mm-hmm. And I started going through them, and pretty quickly you get to Gus Frat banging his head on the wall.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad it's been there. And there aren't a lot of choices to pick from in that. I don't know how you top that. And plus, like, to me, Robert's year, there were a couple, right? The run against Vikings, et cetera, the Sean Taylor play against the Cowboys, the blocked field goal. But I think with, you know, where things are at now, after what this fan base had been through under the other owner, like, what an awakening.
What do you think about Jaden's overall performance? First of all, the kid is the coolest cat in the country. I've never seen a guy just more chill, even after this unbelievable play. Doesn't make it all about him. You know, it's just a remarkable kid. And then to go out there and then just play the way he did. I mean, you weren't listening to the broadcast, but Romo kept alluding to he thought that, you know, the arm strength. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, maybe he sailed a throw or he hit one in the dirt, but he's ripping 60-yard throws. I mean, I thought he's running. I thought he looked great.
I thought he played his game.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't shy away from anything. It was not his most accurate outing. I mean, he was 21 for 38. It was a really good outing. We have to do these for ESPN. We do our little takeaways, and I had to do like a two-word. You do these two-word description of the game, and my first one was gutsy performance. Now I had to change it to Hail Mary, but but it was, to me, it was a gutsy performance, and just I think you win. He didn't shy from anything. He ran. You know, he's getting up at times, and you could tell that like that play affected him, you know, and it wasn't like he wasn't getting up like, you know, a boxer off the mat in the 10th round. Right. It was like he gets up and you're like, oh, you can tell that had to hurt. Right. But he doesn't show it that much. And I think you're right. Like after the game, when he comes in the media room, like it's another game. And I know it's not for him, but you wonder, like, he doesn't show it as much, because I think he's able to always kind of, you know, keep things in check, never make it about himself.
Yeah.
It's not an act.
Right.
And, you know, you could tell that early on, but so I thought it was really gutsy and to do what he did. And not that he had to win over teammates, because he doesn't, but, you know, you bank a lot of coin with games like that where there was some, you know, it was harder than other games. That's
John. What if talk? So at one point I noticed, it looked to me like Bobby Wagner, at least some of those audibles, he was picking them off and relaying them to his guys. He's limited. He's not a sideline to sideline guy, but his impact, I think, we can all see it. Yeah. And it's certainly contributing to the culture. Jaden's contributing to the culture. Zach Ertz. I do think there's a different vibe. Now, winning promotes that, right? That's a huge part of feeling good about yourself and everybody getting along. But, are there other guys in there that we don't – it just seems like literally everyone's buying in.
I would say, like, yes, winning promotes that. I think winning is revealing that because it was there. And this is one of the things that in the spring and the summer you saw and you could feel it. It was different. And it wasn't just because of all the change. Well, it was because of changes, because they brought these guys in. But the tightness was not just because, oh, it's a new team, it's a new coach, let's be tight. It was just getting the right fit of guys in there. And you could see it. And I remember talking about that and just like, but you don't know, like, what's it going to mean for the season? And because there were so many other things that, like, yeah, they're very tight, they have a great bond. And part of me thought, like, oh, it's too bad they're not ready to win more. But they are, apparently. But, you know, because, like, you saw it, like, but you had questions here, you had questions there. Mm-hmm. What would it mean? It would mean they'd max out. And they're doing that. I think there's a couple things. One, I think you go back to the quarterback and Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner is a guy that these guys would talk about with reverence, the players. Like, in the spring, like, you know, I turn the corner, oh, my God, Bobby Wagner's there. Bobby Wagner is just a normal dude. Like, there's no airs about him in the locker room at all. And I think that goes a long way when you're like them. I think the same thing with Jaden Daniels. If he came in thinking, like maybe others had in the past, like, I'm going to be the savior here, then you walk around differently, and that's not him. You know, then you have guys that you brought in free agency. I think one of the keys in free agency, and this is a good reminder now, and people are going to scream in March if they don't sign the biggest name possible, it's not about big names, it's about fit. And I think one of the things that helped them is that they had a lot of coaches coming from all over, and they had experience with almost all those free agents they brought in. And so you knew the kind of guy you were bringing into the room. Now, I remember talking to Daryl Tapp about this a couple of weeks ago, and it's like you never know, you know the guys you're bringing in, but how are they going to mesh in the room? And it's meshed well. But I think that's a factor, too. It's why I always say, you don't chase names, you chase fit. And they did that. And so I think all of that promotes what you get now. And then, you know, you look at the coaching staff and Dan Quinn, the way they do things, that's all really good. But you also have to have the right guys.
John, kind of getting lost in the Jaden Daniels mania is the season that Terry McLaurin is stringing together. He's fourth in the league in receiving yards. He's ninth in receiving yards per game. He adds 125 to the pile last night. It's kind of crazy what happens when a top wideout gets paired with a star quarterback, right?
I say, boy, look what happened. Look how different. I mean, yeah. The thing for him, too, like, it's always been about building that chemistry and rhythm with a quarterback. And he has felt like that I remember talking to him in the summertime about this. It's just because you could see it building, right? And you could see that it could be something really good. And he talked about him in the spring. I think it was like for 20 minutes he was talking to the media. And a lot of it was about Jaden. And you could just see a different look in his eye. I'm like, oh, my God, obviously I've covered Terry this whole time. I've never seen him talk about a guy like this. And I remember saying something to him the next day as he was on the field, like, you know, like, I haven't seen you like that. He goes, legit. This is in the spring, you know? So like that, you know, they have this rhythm where, I mean, they talk all the time. They text a lot about, you know, what they're seeing if they're watching film and, you know, whatever. And so that communication, you know, is there. And then the other thing is trust. And some of those deep balls, first of all, Jaden's pretty accurate on those. And then secondly, like, he's not afraid to take a shot. And so I think that matters too. But then I would also credit this offense. I mean, it's a nicely designed offense that helps. That's another factor. But man, it goes back to, you have a quarterback who's pretty damn good, and you're, you know, and it's paying off for him.
Hey, John. We were focusing on the positives here with Washington. Can we just make fun of Chicago for a moment?
Please.
Could you believe the play call, the handoff to the big fat offensive lineman? And then I even brought up on that last touchdown drive where they scored, I didn't get first and goal from the one, throw a fade. I didn't get it at all.
I didn't either. It was weird. But yeah, I mean, like, I know that I saw them use that alignment in the past, and it's like, okay, that's interesting. I wonder, like, you know, would more teams do that? But in that situation, I'm not giving it to them. And it's like, you know, and I know, like, that's the Bears, you know, it was Fridge back in the day, but Fridge ain't walking through that door, man. And like, I'm not trusting, when I'm behind in a game, I'm not trusting the old lineman to get it through. Like, I might give him a carry once in a while when you're ahead. You know what I mean? If you're going to try and do that, that was an odd time to give him his first carry. And that certainly helped Washington for sure. But yeah, the fade too, I mean, they hadn't stopped him on the run. The defense was clearly getting tired, and they played really, really well for three quarters, you know, outside of the obvious swift run, but they did a really good job. And that game should have been fairly comfortable for them if the offense had produced in the red zone. But yeah, that play call.
I have to say, I wrote this defense off about the first quarter of the week one. I mean, literally wrote them off. I said, this is unbelievable. But I've been stunned at their improvement. I mean, the professionalism, and Witt clearly knows what he's doing. These guys are invested. Well, I don't know. What do you attribute it? Is it part of it just sort of like benching Forbes and benching some of these other guys, like whatever, getting in and finding the right guys? Like, what's been the key?
Yeah. I think it just takes time. And keep in mind, like, it's a new system, and you had, like, probably at least half, maybe more, of the defensive, not just starters, but guys who are on the defense would be new. It just doesn't happen right away. And so I think that's a definite part of it. And, you know, you watch, like, just watching the first couple series already this morning, like, guys like Dorrance Armstrong and Fowler and Farrell, like, they help. You know, they're not flashy, you know, all pros, but they're good at what they do. So you got some solid players, but you had to learn how to play together, like all those cliches, but I think they're legit. Here's the other problem. The offense took off right away. Well, to a degree. I mean, the first game is 20 points, second one 21 points, move the ball, but red zone issues. So I still think there's like room to grow on that offense for sure. And the red zone would be area, but I think with defensively, they didn't have that Jaden Daniels who could just like maybe cover up some issues with just a big play. Right. Mm-hmm. So you had to learn how to play together, but so I think there's a lot of that and you're seeing it now, like you're starting to see more like with some of the pass rushes, some of the things, the sets they're running with it, that they're really growing. So I think, I always felt like you just couldn't expect it right away. They just didn't have that talent base to do that. But even if they did, it still takes a minute to play, to learn how to play together, and for coaches to know what you need to do. I mean, because you really, like, the only benching was Forbes. So it really, it's not a lot different. So it's, but you had Sammer still, who's a rookie, and you have new safeties, and you have it takes a minute. So right. And I think it helps too, like when Luvu starts making plays, and you had Dante Fowler making plays last week, like when guys start making plays, it makes everybody look a little bit better.
Yep, no doubt about it. Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, talk
always
to you next
week. Talk to John Keim, ESPN.com. Coming up next, we want to hear from people who are at the game or at home, and your reactions at the moment of the Hail Mary.
Where were you? Mm-hmm.
Describe the scene.
Right.
I told you our buddy Big Keith, who calls into the show from time to time. He called me like an hour later.
In years.
Yeah. He was fired up, sending me pictures from the game. If you were there, tell us what it was like. Heck, one of our tweeters, he tweets all the time. I only know his name from Twitter. He said that the donk was yelling at him.
Yeah,
he might have been woofing Shane Preacher.
Tyreek Stevenson?
Yes, okay. That Tyreek Stevenson was woofing at him.
Mm-hmm.
That he was doing the trash talking. So 800-636-1067. Or give us your reaction from home. We want to hear from you next as we take your calls on a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.